Up in the hills outside Kalambaka, the roads are dusty and arid. Goats protected by dogs graze on the dry grass, clanking bells that hang from their necks. For the riders of the transcontinental race, this road is the final stretch, and at the finish, a crowd is building. These are the dot watchers, the family, the friends, and volunteers, there for the spectacle, there to anticipate their arrival. Can you explain what a dot watcher is?
Anxiously refreshing track leaders' website every 60 seconds to monitor your dot's progress. I'm Emily, Josh Cunningham's girlfriend, cat number 98. Josh did a little bit of riding in Belgium a few years ago as like a semi-professional, and then saw the TCR as kind of an in-between touring and racing. Unfortunately scratched last year, so when we got home I knew he was doing it again this year, but he was adamant he wasn't for many months, and obviously then the registration opens. Josh was probably the last one to register, still adamant he wasn't going to do it, and yeah, here we are at the finish. I definitely feel like I've not gone through the mental and physical slog, but I've gone through the emotional slog with him. I've definitely not done any work since the 29th of July. It's really tough being a dot watcher. But he's done really, really well. Hopefully he'll be here soon without any injuries, so that's the main thing. So yeah, just waiting for him now, long slog in.
Thank you so much, everyone, coming to say hello. You guys went up, were you?
Right.
What are you doing up?
Good morning.
I think I was more excited than Josh. I was on an absolute buzz all day, obviously after my sleepless night. Really excited to see him. He just slept all day. And then other than that, I was just laughing at him because he just looked like he'd woken up from a morphine dose. It's so funny.
My name's Jessica, Lee Gree's wife, and I've been constantly watching him along with his mum, tracking him as he goes from Belgium to Greece via Poland. And I think it's just because you can't really talk to your loved ones whilst they're doing it. You are nervous because they are very much on their own, but watching them, it gives you a sense of they're okay and they're managing as well, because you can't help them, so especially when they're in a different country. It has been nerve-wracking, but it's been very good as well. And I think a lot of people back home, they didn't know what the TCR was or anything like that, and they do now.
Hello.
How long have you been here?
All night.
True.
My name's Nico Deportago Cabrera, and I'm a bike messenger from Chicago, Illinois, and this is my second attempt at TCR.
It's been really cool to get a lot of feedback from people on like social media about our ride, you know, people who've been following us. We have a lot of friends back home who are following us, but just a lot of people who follow the race in general, you know, have been following our Instagram stories and like watching our dots. And it was like at the end of every day, we would just get like a slew of messages from people like, keep it up, I love watching the stories, I love seeing all the cats, I love seeing you guys petting all these dogs. And, you know, it's really just us out there, and we're for the most part just communicating with each other all throughout the day. So when we get these opportunities to like connect with people outside of the race, who are following it, whether they know us or not, it's kind of like this, it's definitely like a big motivator.
Nico is riding the Transcontinental in a pair with Charles Christensen, known as Chaz.
Chaz
Chaz was having some issues with his dynamo light, and it was like it stopped charging, and then suddenly the light stopped working like as we got into this town. So we pulled into this gas station and we're trying to figure out like, okay, what are our options? Like, what can we do? Because we were trying to ride like another 20 or 30 miles that night. And we're kind of fumbling around, like looking for a bike shop. Of course, nothing's open. It's like 9 o'clock at night. And this kid like rides up to us. He's on this Cinelli bike and you know, he looks like a fixed gear kind of rider or something. He's like, hey guys, what's going on? And we're both kind of so frazzled because we're just like, you know, we had just ridden all day, like fighting this Hungarian traffic and trying to sort out this mechanical issue. And he's like, I can't believe I found you. I've been following your dot this whole time. I just got in from Budapest. Like, you're in my city. Like, I saw your dot stop and I had to come, you know, come find you guys. And, you know, it was like we had this moment where we were like totally absorbed by the race, totally absorbed by like our dealing with this issue on hand. But like here was this dude who knew us from like the internet, and he just like had all this like stoke and like positivity to feed us, and it was like it kind of helped us like snap our brains back into it and be like, okay, this isn't the end of the world. We'll get a kebab, we'll chat with this dude, we'll just get a hotel room in this night, and you know, within like 10 minutes we'd come up with solutions for all our problems, you know. But just like this moment of interaction with somebody outside of the race, who was, you know, following our little blip across the country, it kind of like relit, you know, the fire.
Dot watchers have a propensity to surprise riders by popping up unexpectedly. One of the best encounters happened to German rider Christoph Furbach. When he arrived at the finish, he was greeted by nuns who were working as missionaries in Albania and had come to thank him for his work with the church.
Hi Tom.
Hello.
Introduce you to the sisters. Have you heard about them being supporters of Christoph Furbach?
Well, this lady here is the ringleader and the main dot watcher. Christoph is riding for the charity that is supporting their work in Albania.
Yeah, and I read it the day before that he is on the road, and then I was thinking, I have to see him. And then we were talking on the phone because we want to have a day off. And then it was my idea, why not to go to Kalambaka to meet him there and to say, we supported you and we want to welcome you.
So nice. And so have you got into the dot watching because Christoph is doing this year?
Yes, he's doing it the second time, and he does it for Renovabis, for this church organization.
Have you got everybody interested in dot watching now?
Yes, now we are.
Now she infected us.
Yeah.
Yes. Now we will wait until he is coming. Yeah. And then we have to go back to Albania, because it will be very late when we are in Albania.
We are really crazy.
Really.
Yes, it's a really crazy idea.
Must be any minute now.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
You're
doctor.
Very surprised. You do have
I think
five nuns.
Yeah.
But I think they are here because of me.
Got them into dot watching, they became dot watchers because of you.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I'm Christina and I am the planner of CAP 195. Dot watching is very addictive and so, yeah, a lot of fun. And it's nice as well meeting people and getting to know what their CAP number is and then following them and see how they're doing too. And then when you go to the finish and you watch riders come in and their reaction, and then also, because when you're waiting with other family members, you get to know you know, sort of other people, and you're kind of waiting for their dot to come in as well with them. And yeah, it's yeah, just a lovely atmosphere at the start and at the finish.
Paul's girlfriend. First time I've ever done that. Dot watch and really, he set my expectations really low. He was like, "Oh, I don't think I'll, you know, why are we leaving Meteora on the 16th?" And now he's like top like 15, I think. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Good ride.
Oh my god.
I'm a ball of emotional juices.
That'll do, pig, that'll do.
At the finish line, you get a sense of the emotion the riders have felt on the road, especially when you meet people like Paul Ferguson, who are a ball of emotional juices, as he put it so well. But while riders are out in the unknown racing, often alone for hours and maybe days, things go wrong and the doubt and the stress of those moments really test people's mental strength. Stefan Owaja was pushed to the edge when he used nearly 30 patches trying to mend a puncture that just wouldn't fix. At times like that, messages of support can be a lifeline.
One flat cost me more than 10 places. It's sad, but it's the transcontinental race. It's a cruel race. I was teared apart. A part of me wanted to give up, another part doesn't want it. But a lot of people on Facebook, Instagram, sent me a message to cheer me up. And finally, I decided to give a go. And I smashed the whole night, trying to catch as much people as I could. And it gives me some satisfaction.
My name's Stuart White. I am cap number 194. So, Facebook specifically, I've found over recent years to be, poisonous is probably a bit strong, but a bit detrimental to regular living. You know, you just spend a bit too much time on it. But throughout this race, there's people who are friends, inverted commas, everyone's just come out of the woodwork, and the amount of support and positive like vibes and just people you didn't even think that you'd ever speak to again saying this is wicked. That just sitting down in a petrol station at your lowest ebb and having a quick flick through some comments just flips your day, and you're like, oh right, okay, there's some people who actually give a shit about this, like maybe as much as I do. You know, they're actually watching a little dot on a map, and they give a crap about where that dot is at the beginning of their day and where it is at the end of their day. And like that is fairly incredible, I think.
This year, flights to Greece were booked at the last minute as one of the most dramatic stories of the race unfolded. TCR number 6 saw one of the best performances from a pair in its history. But Jonathan Rankin had to split from his partner James Craven when James came down with pneumonia.
I'm Claire, I'm Jonathan's girlfriend. When the pair split, that was quite tough because they're a really good team. And I remember chatting to Grace actually, and she said that they were able to sort of like carry each other a little bit in different ways. So like they could, you know, Jonathan could help James when James was moved down, and James was helping Jonathan, and they kind of meshed together really well. And you know, they'd gone into this as a pair and they were going to finish it as a pair, so this is just, it's just not what you would ever, it's not what you plan for. You think the worst thing that could happen, your bicycle breaks, or you know, one of you breaks a bone, you don't really think about this horrible decision that you have to make. I was a bit worried about how Jonathan felt about making that decision, but you just kind of have to not think about it. You kind of feel like, well, they're there. they're clever people. They just have to trust them to make the best decisions that they can, really.
At CP3, while James was forced to rest up in a hotel, Jonathan took the decision to ride on alone. It was his first year riding the race, and the 6'7" rider became the 10th person to arrive at the finish. When he sat down for a beer, Juliana Boering asked him whether there are advantages to being in a pair.
I was turning it over in my head. I think at the start, if you make up enough ground while everything is good, then you could do really well.
Yeah.
You start to become basically two ones when your bums get sore, and like then you're not able to like sit 10 inches apart and whatever. The only sort of real expectation and real thing that both James and I wanted to do was to be able to ride for a number of hours per day, and if we managed that, then that would be us happy. And it just happened to be that by riding those number of hours, we were able to cover enough distance to do reasonably well. And I had good days and bad days, and some days I was able to ride for more than the number of hours, and then other days I felt like I'd ridden all day and I'd not even got close to the sort of target number of hours.
Do you think you would do a pair again, or would you go solo next time?
James is now semi-Instagram famous, so he's probably got a whole queue of people wanting to...
Oh, well, if he would take you back, would you ride with him the second year?
Yeah, I would.
Okay. A couple of days after the pair had split, James was feeling better, and his girlfriend Grace pushed him to carry on.
So at the start, it was so exciting, and it's almost like being like a game of two halves. At the start, when they were doing so well, they were in a pair, and everyone was buzzing, it was just amazing, and I was literally telling everyone, and then... Since James, they got separated, it's been so hard because, you know, he's been so mentally low. Like, obviously I haven't seen him, but I've never heard him, like, be like this before. And so it's been so hard to kind of just be at home and... But, yeah, he's here. Well, he will be here soon, so I'm just glad it's over, kind of, to be honest.
What's he been saying? What's he struggling with?
Just, obviously he's been so ill... So that's the thing in itself. And then you've obviously got, like, fatigue and everything else that everyone is suffering from. And then just to be, like, split from Johnny has been hard. And I think knowing how well he was doing, and then now, you know, going from, I think the 10th or something at the time, and then going back, he was, like, at 100th at one point, which is still amazing. Like, not taking anything from that, but just to go from that, and it's, like, really mentally hard for him, I think, because he's constantly thinking, like, I could be... you know, 800 kilometres ahead from where I am. So I think he's really struggled a lot with that.
Yeah,
while Jonathan and James were reunited, another pair were boxing their bikes up, ready for the flight home.
I'm Rachel Batt. My cap number is 245A.
I'm Jim Stewart, cap number 245B. And we're just at the finish, packing up our bikes.
Yay!
So I missed you guys when you arrived.
Yeah, it was quite late.
Early hours of the morning. I don't blame you for missing us.
Yeah, we got here at... what, office 12?
And then we got here and he was like buzzing, la, 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 and I was just like dribbling practically. Normally it's the other way around. Normally I'm the one, well, more so, yes? Normally I'm the one who's like noisy.
You're normally the chatty one, yeah.
But on this occasion I just didn't have anything else left. That was it. I was just like, no, I'm done. Can't do anymore. Sign my brevet card, please. I'll sit here and dribble into my pint.
Glad I wasn't there.
Yeah. I'm planning our next assault on TCR next year, but
Yeah, he's taking some trouble to convince me. So I don't know. It's not the physical. The physical's fine. Fine for degrees of fine. It's the mental. I just can't keep going. I couldn't do it alone. The only way I can do it is because I can see him pedalling off into the distance, and I want to keep up. So that's what keeps me going. But it's
So what do you mean? It's not the physical.
Well, I can keep getting on my bike, and I can keep pedaling, and I know I can get up the hills, and I know that the gearing's enough, and I know that it'll be okay, and if I have to walk, I can walk. But it's the actual mental getting up in the morning. I mean, we stayed in hotels, which is relative luxury, but every morning I just want to scratch. It's every morning I wake up, my mouth's dry, there's not enough for breakfast, I didn't have enough for tea, and I just feel rubbish. So, but you kind of go through the motions. You start eating a bit, you clean your teeth, you do a little bit more, and then you start feeling a little bit more normal, and then you're all right, I'll get on my bike and see how it goes, and it goes for another day. But I don't know how many days I can keep going.
Next to Rachel and Jim was Caroline Masajuska, the third woman to arrive at the finish.
I remember when I was packing my bike, and it was like just a few days ago, and now I need to do that again. It's so, it's strange. So soon and so many kilometers apart, and I'm happy that I arrived at all, because that was the main goal, was to just finish it and as soon as possible. I was thinking about 20 days, and I had budget for 20 days, and it happened sooner, also in relaxed mode, I would say, because I wasn't running fast or anything. I was just doing my stuff. So I didn't change my plan, and I was doing just like I wanted to do that. So I'm happy that it happens in such a short time. And my dad just asked me today I came to work, and I don't even need to open the followers page. It's it's so lame. What? I think that everyone got addicted a little bit to the fact that this adventure is following, and from time to time just check out how's going, where is she, and now she's she's done. So she's done, and there's no show anymore. Nothing happened. No adventures. I don't know. Nothing broken. Nothing. I don't know. Swallowed or something. It's just the show has ended. For them as well.
I have to go back to TV.
Huh?
I have to go back to TV.
Watching
TV.
Do other things. I don't know, reading newspapers in the morning. There's no following me anymore. So one thing, the thing that I get addicted to. I mean, I like to have everything along the plan and everything planned, and TCR was the thing that every day was some kind of adventure that I had to face and some kind of problems I had to face, that it just, I needed to be more flexible in my mind as well, make the faster decisions and accept the fact that not everything is depend on me. And the other thing is the reason why I participated in TCR, that I wanted to see how Europe is changing, as in the culture and the people and everything. And this is really, that's what I wanted to do happened. I saw the whole Europe from a wheel, and it wasn't just a second. It wasn't in the car and the stops at the gas station, but it was interacting with the people. And every day, I met so many kindness. I mean, the kindness of people was so, every day there was someone magical happened to me, and I didn't expect the kindness of people at all, the people treating us differently. But when you come in to the people in Lycra after 300 kilometers with a helmet all dirty, and people are ready to help you in every possible way that they could, and every day there was something like this happening. I didn't even, it just brought me to tears so many times, that people just can do so many great things for the others without expecting to being rewarded or paid. And I don't know, it's probably Lycra on bicycle makes us such a, so vulnerable and so So that was the greatest experience, probably seeing the people kindness all over the world. It doesn't matter what the country was.
It feels so sad to be over though. I think too, like I was using this hill to sort of really process, you know, what this hill meant last time I did it, what it means this time I did it, and like, I don't know, it, my mind's not clear enough to sort it all out yet, but it's just, it's huge, and then like suddenly it's just gone.
Anissa Orban was the second fastest woman in the race.
So what is it about these rides that makes you do them?
Yeah, that's a really tough one. I think it's just, there's so much variability, and you just, you feel so alive. Like, there's something about these, the additional challenge of these. Like, I'm not necessarily a fast person, a fast rider. And maybe I can be, but not just, like, I'm gonna get on the road and race for 1 hour. But, you know, when I've warmed up for a whole day, I might be able to put out a couple of quick hours. But it's like figuring everything else out and the logistics and the, you know, on the fly and handling challenges. And I said to some guys in the petrol station, I'm like, it's all about problem solving. They're like, what problems are you solving? I'm like, I need to charge my stuff. I need to get my food. I need, and they're like, oh, they thought I was like solving some major world problems. I'm like, no, just my problems.
Do you like the simple life on the road?
There is something really beautiful about it, yeah. But I don't think simple is the right word, because I feel like it's actually, you're always, you know, in order to make everything tick, you have to always be on everything. Like, what do I need yesterday? What do I need an hour ago? And if you don't have it, you know, you could spend a long time going to look for it. And then you get fixated on it, yeah, and then it's like, actually, I don't even need to worry about this, it's not important, but because I know now that I wanted to get that orange juice that I forgot to pick up at the last place, like, now that's all I'm thinking about, and I'm not focusing on the, you know, the important stuff. I had a moment yesterday where I got in this right panic about the mechanics of the bike, and I just, you know, I started thinking, if it goes bad, like, I knew I was on the edge, and knew that there's a risk of a number of things properly breaking, but also it could make it here, and I just kept like weighing up these simulations in my head, like what could play out, what's the worst that could happen, how am I going to deal with that, what's the best that could happen, okay, that doesn't need dealing with, you know, like, but it really got me down for a couple of hours just thinking about the worst that could happen, because I knew that the worst that could happen is that I couldn't finish, because I'm in the middle of nowhere and I couldn't get to a shop in time. Like, oh, maybe I could have finished, but days later.
With Anissa, Carolina and Edie Harrison at the finish, the women's podium was in place, with Edie taking the win. Charles Christensen and Nico Depothargo Cabrera won in the pairs category, and James Hayden was the fastest person overall, reaching the finish in 8 days, 22 hours and 59 minutes. And at the finishers' party in Pub 38, we called the winners to the stage.
We watched you all admirably confront quite a bit of adversity this year. And I know there was a lot of difficulties and challenges and struggles, difficult climbs. Yeah, there was a lot of swearing, a lot of sweat and tears. And some of you had blood. We saw that too. And all the emotions that come with that, from the agony to the ecstasy and all the in-between. And so it was just as emotional for us, because we know the feeling, to watch you, as it must have been for you to experience it, obviously. But you've taken on one of the toughest races out there, and you did it in the best possible spirit of the race that we can imagine, and you've all left your heart and soul out there on the road, and you've had the adventure of a lifetime, and the kind of experience that very few can claim to have had. So congratulations to all of you, and from all of us on the Lost Dot team, we just want to say thank you. Right, I think we're going to
get on with the prize giving. So if James Hayden would like to come up.
So some of you were here last year. I recognise a lot of faces and you probably heard my speech last year. I think the tone of the speech and the tone of the race this year is completely different. So last year was about kind of adversity and dealing with difficulties in life, and everyone has challenges and no one's alone in those challenges, and we all go through hard times in life and no one is alone, we all have to manage that. And this year the race feels like a whole new chapter. Anna, Tom, Rory and Juliana, the Lost Dog crew, have taken over the race, very much made it their own, and developed it with new ideas and new things. And it feels like we've closed one chapter and we've opened a whole new chapter. And I'm really, really looking forward to the future as Anna, Juliana, Rory and Tom all take over the race with the volunteers as well and go from strength to strength and take on what Mike started with and build this race into something new. And we all deal with adversity and challenges in life, but we also have happiness. And so some great memories and some great times. And me, I'm getting married in a month's time to Isabel. And so as much as we struggle in life, and as much as we all have difficult times, we must remember that life can bring such happiness to us. And through these hard times, we'll find good times. We just have to keep going forward, have to keep growing, and we just have to enjoy ourselves. So last year was what last year is, but this year's a party and we're all here to enjoy ourselves. So I want to raise a glass to absolutely everyone. And we're going to have a good time.
Embodies the attitude of a TCR racer, I feel. We know she had her struggles, but she kind of conducted herself with this quiet control that was very impressive. And I feel like she made this race
for herself. Well,
Each other, and I really feel like they rode this race as a pair.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'd like to just give a big shout out to Cap 253, both those guys. You guys really inspired the ride, and like when homie stopped and we saw his dot stop moving, it was kind of like a weird feeling, like. Shit, I guess we're kind of in the front now, but when we saw your dot moving again, it really, like, you know, every time we had a hard moment, it was like, well, fuck, he had pneumonia and he's still riding. Get it together, man. Like,
yay! Yeah.
Thank you guys. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. This is amazing.
Okay, so last but definitely not least, we have the spirit of the race. You guys know that we do this every year, and it was difficult to choose because there's been so many stories and we've been watching you all, and there's been a lot of struggling and, you know, our hearts were in our mouths and all sorts for a lot of it for you guys. But there were actually two people that stood out, and those were Jonathan Rankin and James Braver.
Yeah!
Yeah. you know, these guys, they've battled significant adversity throughout their race. This is their first race, you know, they're both rookies. Lots of things to overcome on the race, and yet still came incredible places, you know, so you've really impressed us, and we really, really hope to see you again.
Yep.
So yeah, big hand for these guys.
Thank you guys. I don't know. I've talked to so many people on the road that have also had struggles, and so many people that have been ill and like horrendous cellophores and all sorts. And I don't know.
I feel like we've had it quite easy. So yeah. I think I would give a big round of applause for everyone.
Absolutely.